Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 13 to close at 24,799. S&P 500 up 1 at 2,748. NASDAQ Composite up 31 at 7,637, another record high. Russell 2000, small and mid caps up 11 at 1664. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 2 basis points at 2.92%. Oil up 76 cents at $65.46 per barrel. And gold up $4.30 at $12.96.80 per ounce. NASDAQ closed at a record high for the second day in a row with help from the tech and consumer discretionary sectors. The NASDAQ's biggest boost was from Amazon, which rose 1.9%, also leading gains in the S&P Consumer Discretionary Index. Apple up 0.8%, contributing the biggest point gains to the tech index and the second biggest for the NASDAQ. The S&P 500 edged higher. Twitter jumped about 5% after the Dow Jones announced the social media company would replace Monsanto in the S&P 500. Netflix will replace Monsanto on the S&P 100 index. Changes go into effect prior to the market open Thursday, June 7th. Dow Industrials lost earlier gains, finished in the red. So, with the NASDAQ at record highs, Goldman Sachs has issued a new report on tech stocks, and the message is, don't worry, be happy. No matter how high tech stocks have soared, there is no bubble based, believe it or not, on fundamentals. And the fun's going to continue. According to the Goldman analyst, it's different this time because, unlike the technology mania of the 1990s, most of this success can be explained by strong fundamentals, revenues, and earnings, rather than speculation about the future. So tech will continue to dominate, they argue, as everyone will have to buy it, including retailers, as they try to escape the brick-and-mortar meltdown by shifting to e-commerce. And then there's the whole huge promise of AI. West Texas crude oil prices finished 1.2% higher, even after a report that the U.S. government has asked Saudi Arabia and other major exporters to increase oil output by about 1 million barrels per day. The U.S. walks away from the Iran nuclear deal, which pushes up oil prices, and less than a month later demands producers raise production. OPEC meets in Vienna June 22nd to decide whether the group and non-OPEC producers, including Russia, should raise output to make up for any supply shortfall from Iran and Venezuela, even though many on Wall Street continue to maintain that both OPEC and Russia are ready to step in and make up for shortfalls from Iran. The reality is that both want $80 a barrel oil, especially OPEC. They have made that abundantly clear. So it is by no means a given they will cut production at the meeting at the end of June. According to the Wall Street Journal this afternoon, China has offered to purchase close to $70 billion worth of U.S. goods over the next year if the Trump administration backs off proposed tariffs. The deal would include purchases of soybeans, corn, natural gas, crude oil, coal, and more. An earlier preliminary deal between the U.S. and Chinese delegations also featured a planned Chinese purchase of U.S. goods, along with the U.S. promise to delay tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. Mexico hit back at the U.S. today, imposing tariffs on around $3 billion worth of American pork, whiskey, cheese, and other goods in response to Trump's steel and aluminum tariffs. The Trump administration hit Mexico and Canada with 25% steel tariffs and 10% aluminum tariffs on June 1st. U.S. also imposed metal tariffs on the European Union, Japan, and other countries as part of an effort to stop the flow of imported metals. That approach has only inflamed allies, including Canada and Mexico, which have threatened to strike back with their own targeted tariffs. The announcement of new tariffs in Mexico on U.S. goods came as the Trump administration threw yet another complication into the renegotiation talks on NAFTA by saying it wants to splinter discussions with Canada and Mexico and work on separate agreements rather than continue three-country discussions to rewrite the 1994 trade deal. Mexican negotiators insist they would not be willing to consider splitting negotiations, which they view as potentially damaging to North American supply chains and an unnecessary complication. Service-oriented companies in the U.S. that employ most of America, hospitals, retailers, banks, high-tech developers, grew faster in May, another sign the economy is speeding up again. The Institute for Supply Management said its survey of businesses, excluding manufacturing, rose to 58.6 last month from 56.8 in April. The index is close to a 13-year high and posted its 100th consecutive month of growth. Job openings rose to a fresh record in April and further exceeded the number of unemployed workers. Labor Department data showed the number of positions waiting to be filled increased by 65,000 to 6.7 million, according to the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, or JOLTS. The prior month's reading was revised up to 6.63 million from 6.55 million. It's estimated that there are just 6.4 million available workers to fill those job openings, so more job openings than workers. As the demand grows, workers have gotten more confident about leaving their current positions for better ones. The total quits rate has been nudging higher this year and was at 2.3% in April. That's the highest since 2005, above the 2.1% rate a year ago and the 1.3% bottom set back in 2010. Meanwhile, wages remain stagnant. If employers want to fill these 6.7 million job openings, they're either going to have to raise wages or find some clever and creative way to recruit workers off the sidelines. About 4 in 10 people who have gone to college have taken out loans to pay for school. Women hold nearly two-thirds of all student debt in the U.S., that according to a new report from the American Association of University Women. Part of the reason is that more women go to college. They represented 56% of students enrolled in the fall of 2016. More women take out loans, and when they do, they borrow more money. The average woman owes $2,740 more than a man upon finishing a bachelor's degree. Women are also repaying their debt more slowly, which can mean they're paying more in interest over time. Americans owe $1.5 trillion in student loans. Outstanding student debt currently exceeds auto loan debt at $1.1 trillion and credit card debt at $977 billion. Among those who finished a bachelor's degree in 2016 with debt, the average amount was $28,400. For companies trying to lure and retain workers now that unemployment is near an 18-year low, student loan repayment programs might offer a way to specifically target millennial workers who are saddled with student debt, but only about 4% of companies offer student loan repayment assistance. Voters heading to the polls today in California, Montana, Alabama, Iowa, Mississippi, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has canceled most of the Senate's August recess to give lawmakers time to pass spending bills before a September 30th deadline and to confirm more Trump appointees. Wells Fargo selling all of its branches in Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. Wells Fargo, second-largest bank in the country, will no longer have a retail presence in those states. Flagstar Bank Corp., a savings and loan, is buying the branches, 52 in all, including four of Wells Fargo's locations in Wisconsin. All told, about $2.3 billion in deposits will leave Wells Fargo. Company said that all 490 employees will get offers to work at Flagstar. Flagstar said it agreed to pay a 7% premium for the deposits it's acquiring. That implies a purchase price of right around $2.5 billion. That deal expected to close in the fourth quarter. Both Social Security and Medicare are facing an uncertain future unless lawmakers take action. The financial problems plaguing the two programs were revealed in an annual government assessment published today. Over 62 million people receive Social Security benefits, average monthly payment $1,294. Nearly 60 million people are on Medicare. The two programs account for about 40% of government spending. In 16 years, 2034, Social Security funds could be depleted, which was also reported last year. Medicare's main fund for hospital and nursing care expected to run dry in 8 years. That would be 2026. It should be stressed that the reports did not indicate the benefits would disappear in those years. After 2034, Social Security's trustees said income tax would be sufficient to pay about three-quarters of retirees' benefits. Congress could at any time choose to pay for the benefits through the general fund. A Superior Court judge in San Juan, Puerto Rico, has ordered the government of Puerto Rico to release detailed data on every single death recorded on the island since Hurricane Maria made landfall in late September. The data could provide much-needed insight into the true death toll from Hurricane Maria. The official death toll is 64. Despite growing evidence that the number of people who died in the storm's aftermath is in the thousands, a Harvard study published in the New England Journal of Medicine estimated that upward of 4,645 people died as a result of the hurricane, mainly from the lack of electricity and medical care after the storm. Then on Friday, Puerto Rico's health department said 1,397 overall deaths were reported from September to December in 2017 that might be linked to the storm. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 13 to close at 24,799. S&P 500 up 1 at 2,748. And the NASDAQ Composite up 31 at a record high close, 7,637. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.